Okay. The thing that that we're about to discuss is something that we've covered before, but there are some things that I want to get you prepared for, and get you prepared from a perspective of understanding. And I don't quite know at this point what the Spirit is leading us into with this particular lesson. I'm just gonna flow with it as He leads. You know, we've dealt with scriptures concerning Romans. Romans 8, verse 14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of Yah, they are the sons of Yah." And then we discuss the word being led. You know, we talked about it from a perspective of the sheepdog that drives the sheep. Also from the perspective of Yah being not leading us from a perspective of holding our hands and being in front of us, but leading us from a perspective of like somebody being behind us and guiding our head, so to speak, turning our heads in the directions that that we should go. We not knowing, because we don't have control of that direction, we not knowing which way our head is going to be turned, and so we have to, a lot of times in being led, we have to just move as we have to cooperate with how we're being moved, and then understand the results as we get there, so to speak. Well, that's one of these kind of lessons, whereas we're being led, but it's not from a leading of me having information or detailed information ahead of time to be able to share these things with you. So these things will come as the Spirit of Yah lead us, you know, guide us, turn our heads in the direction that we should go. Now we're going to be coming from Revelation chapter 20. And there's a specific verse that I want to deal with, which is verse 4, Revelation 20, verse 4. And then we will move as He lead us to move, okay? Because I don't quite know how He's going to have us move through this. All right. Now, let's pray. Father God, we come to You just to bless Your wonderful name. We thank You for the opportunity to stand before You, to be in Your presence, to be led by Your Spirit, so that we can have the understanding that's necessary for us to operate within this life. And we bless You for all that You do. In the name of our wonderful Savior, Yehoshua, we do pray. Amen. Okay, Romans, before I start reading the verse, let me kind of sit up or lay the groundwork for what we're going to discuss. In the days that, and I'm saying days because, you know, no man know the day or the hour when our Savior is coming, but there are signs to let us know that, you know, that the season is near. As we look at these verses here, we'll see some things. We'll see some things in this particular verse that makes it vital for us to. For us to understand what we're about to discuss. And I know I'm kind of going around the way, but I'm doing this because this is how I'm being led to do it. And so As these days fast approach us, we're going to have some challenges. It's going to be challenges as far as the world is concerned. Not only are we going to have some challenges, but the whole world itself is going to have challenges. We're living in, obviously, some very perilous times, especially when you look at things that's going on with us as a nation of people. And then things as far as our society is concerned, you just kind of expand it from there. You know, we as a people, our society, our country, other countries, and then when you look at it in the whole totality, it's from a perspective of the world. We're living in perilous times, in a nutshell. Now, because these days are approaching, I encourage you not to be attached to material things. It's okay to have them, but don't be attached to those things. You know, I like what. Matter of fact, I'm going to just read it. I'll read it here. Just bear with me as I pull it up. Proverbs 27, verse 1, it says, Proverbs 27, verse 1, it says, boast not. When you look at the word boast, it means from a perspective of, it's from a perspective of shining or to be clear. From a foolish perspective, and so it's also said praise. And when you look at it, it's from a perspective of ourselves. There is a wrong perspective, when you look at the perspective as far as boasting is concerned, it's wrong when you look at it. In the prettiness of what it is, okay? But I want to balance it. There are some things that we can boast about that has a different perspective. Boasting can mean to celebrate also, okay? I can celebrate you. I can talk about, how wonderful a person you are, different things like that. So that can be a form of boast, but then there can be a boast that's from a perspective of where it's foolishness, okay? Foolish associated with it, okay? And it can also have rage and stuff like that associated with it. So the scripture says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day might bring forth, okay? And it gives us a perspective in, verse 2 says, let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. And so when you look at it from that perspective, then it deals with the foolishness that's associated with it, okay? Doing it in a foolish perspective. And so what I was saying using that scripture, leading into that scripture, is that I want to encourage you to understand and to not be attached to material things. It's okay to have them, but don't be attached to it to the point to where it becomes vitally important in our life. You have a lot of people, especially in our country, we are a very materialistic country, whereby we don't consider ourselves successful, or we don't consider ourselves, we don't consider ourselves successful, or or in a position of being comfortable in life unless we have material things. That's just how, this society has been set up. And it is a society that's been set up from the perspective of our rebellion as mankind as a whole toward Yah. Our rebellion toward Yah has caused us to exalt things more so than we do Yah. And so we're willing to do whatever is necessary in order to have things, and so from those perspectives, I want to encourage you to make sure that that is something that we understand that we can have, but also have to understand Proverbs 27 verse 1 of not knowing what a day may bring, so we don't get caught up into it, And I just use myself for an example. I'm not caught up in the houses and things like that because I've lost one before. I've been in a position whereas I had something one particular day, and then a day came when that was totally gone, and went from living comfortable in a nice home to having to sleep in classrooms and taking daily baths in a laundry basket for 2 years, 2.5 years, and to experience that on a daily basis, it takes you from a mindset of being proud or boasting about things that I possess, to the point, I'm not saying I boasted about those things, I'm just using that as an example. It really humbles you when you realize that something can be there and you can have it, and then all of a sudden, overnight, it's gone. It's not there. And to have to adjust to that and deal with it and still trust Yah, although you don't have all the things that you're accustomed to, as far as your daily life is concerned. And so from that perspective, it caused me to not be concerned about material things, although I have those things. It's just that they don't mean what. They don't mean certain things to me that may, it may mean to other people. Like I said, for instance, even in my neighborhood, there are people who will see, because we have more than one car. I have several cars, but it's not from a perspective of being materialistic. It's just that Yah give things and He provides things even when I myself personally don't think I need. It's just that there are certain things that he sees as necessary, and so he makes that available. Well, if a person don't understand that, they'll look at it and say, well, he's materialistic because he got more than one or more than he feel like he needs and stuff like that. But Yah understands what's needed, and so he's given according to the need. So every vehicle I have, there's a need associated to it, with it in one fashion or another. And so... But you have people that will look at that from the outside and be like, okay, man, it just don't take all that. Well, my mindset is it's nothing but stuff. I always say, it's here today, it's gone tomorrow, and I'm not caught up into it. I thank Yah for it, But at the same time, I'm not so overwhelmed with it to the point to where I can't be without it, because I know how it is to be without something, something that I consider that I needed. You know, when you lose something you feel like you need, then everything you have, you realize that it's not important to have it. It's okay, you're fine with having it, you thank God for it, but at the same time, your mindset is balanced to the point where you're like, it's okay if I don't have it. You know, I understand what Paul means when he says, you know, I know how to be content in whatsoever state I've been. I've been hungry, I've been full, I've had much, and I've had little. I've had nothing. And so in all those states, I learned, Yah taught me how to be content, because when it came down to it, he was the very thing that I needed. Did you have, were you trying to say something?
Yeah, I was about to say something. I was about to speak on first. What about the persecution that your friends and your family give?
Go ahead.
Because I still got a flip phone.
Uh-huh.
And my friends and family still teasing me because I got a flip. I said, what's the difference? I'm talking to you. So what's the difference? You know, and that's the thing a lot of people can't take. They can't take that persecution coming from, especially from loved ones.
Right.
That's one of the strongest things.
So basically,
that's on them.
So basically, go ahead.
You know, it's like, you're in school. I'm old enough, so persecution, it don't affect me like it would when I was in school and coming up. You know, I didn't have the Nikes and the Jordans and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
You know, that's persecution that we go through.
So basically, you're saying the persecution, you use the word persecution, which is I like the word that you use. Use the word persecution to basically say in a nutshell that the reason why people are materialistic is because of the persecution or the criticism or whatever that comes from other people.
Right.
Keeping up with the Joneses, so to speak.
Right.
And so from those perspective, a lot of times, and a lot of people do that, and that's one of the reasons why, you know, I would stay on my girls and be like, okay, you be you. You know, allow God to develop you to be who you are instead of being concerned about what other people think you have or don't have. And so you call it persecution. So I do relate to the point that you have. And we do get in a lot of trouble because we are concerned about what others are going to say about the things that we have, whether we have those things or don't have those things. Okay? And so there's persecution on both ends of it, whereas, you know, a person said, well, I got to have this, or I got to live in this type of house or drive this kind of car or whatever, because I'm concerned about what people are going to think about me when I go around my family, or what my friends going to think about me. And I'm glad you said that, because that's something that I want to use as we look at verse 4.
They got a commercial where the neighbors is competing on who can decorate their house the best, can make their house look the best on the block. They got a commercial about that right now. You know, one guy gonna get palm trees and all kinds of stuff, and this guy gonna get lights and fog and light up the place and do all kinds of stuff. And I'm like, that make you do stuff and you be like, why am I doing this? This is to compete with my neighbor next door.
Right.
So we get caught up in the silly things and don't even realize we caught up in it.
And so from that perspective, I wanna now move to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and then we'll go to Revelation 20, and we'll deal with this, the reason why I'm discussing these things. Now, when you look at Ecclesiastes 12, verse 12. Solomon is having a lot of thoughts, and what he's saying in a nutshell is he's looking at life. He's looking at everything from a perspective of life. One of the things that he said was, okay, you have a man that worked all his life to accumulate things, and then he died and leave it all for somebody else to enjoy. And he can't even see what he built and I'm just paraphrasing, he can't even see what he built years later because he's not there. He's dead, so to speak, or he's dead. And so Solomon was dealing with these things, he's reasoning with these things, and he just said all is vanity. He was like, all these things that we do, we're toiling and we're going through life trying to do all these different things. He said, but when it really comes down to it, he said, it's all vanity. It's all vanity. It means nothing. It's pointless. And as you look at all the things that he's saying in Ecclesiastes, when you get to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, he comes to a wonderful conclusion from all the things that he's calling vanity. He said, okay, all this stuff really means nothing. Okay? And then when you look at verse 12, he says, Ecclesiastes 12, verse 12, he says, and further, by these, my son, be admonished of making many books, there is no end. And much study is a weariness of the flesh. Then he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. He says, whatever we do in life, all of our chores that we do, the daily things that we do, and when you look at it on a daily basis and it turned into, let's just say, when you look at it on a second basis, a minute basis, an hour basis, a daily basis, a weekly basis, a monthly basis, a yearly basis, when you look at all these things go by on a, you know, on a continuous basis, he said, when it comes down to it, there's only one conclusion to this whole matter. There's only one conclusion to this whole matter. And he says this now, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Yah and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. This is the whole of man. When it all comes down to it, nothing really matters but that. Nothing really matters but that. And so when you look at things from that perspective, it brings us to an understanding to be able to go forward and deal with Revelation 20, because we're set up in this society, and my brother-in-law mentioned that you have commercials that sit up to where you got families competing against one another. And if we all admit there's something that goes on, either maybe in our minds or maybe there's someone that we have to deal with on a daily basis, that's the way that we're talking about, or we may have a loved one, or we may receive or experience the persecution like brother-in-law Virgil mentioned, we may experience the persecution in one fashion or another, and all this is a system that set up to get us to a certain point. And that certain point is the opposite of what Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 is concerned. It brings us to a whole different conclusion of a matter. And so all of us are toiling for one, and I'm just saying it's just for perspective of dealing with this. So I say all of us to keep us balanced. I like to throw myself in there because it keeps me balanced and it keeps me focused and in the right perspective to know that if I can include myself, then I'll beware so that I don't be like that. So you hear me say a lot of time when I say we preachers we who believe in Yah, and then I'll throw out the thing that we shouldn't do, because me saying we don't put me above nobody. Okay? It makes me like my Savior, where I can be touched with the feeling of a person's weakness, although I may not be experiencing that weakness. So I say we. When I say we, it allows me to be touched with the feelings of that and to keep focused to make sure that I don't be what I'm saying we are. Okay, I'm curious. You do the same way. Yes, ma'am, I'm calling.
This is a different sort of question. Everything you're saying And I'm thinking about, you know, other religions that, well, for lack of a better word, that drill certain things into their children. It's like we followed short on that part. So all these things that you're saying, I'm just thinking if we can instill that into our children and then they grow up, having that be a part of their life and a part of a way of life, it would make things easier for them.
Is that it? Because, I mean, that's a very good point. Were you going to add anything else to that before I...
Well, I just look back over my life and raising my son, and, you know, to tell you the truth, this was not a focus for his rearing and his upbringing. I taught him morals, and I taught him good things, you know, the way, how to be respectable, how to respect other people, how to get along in life. But so far as all of these concepts and ideas that are not too broad for a child to, you know, receive. I mean, they receive it at a different place than a mature adult would, but still not too early for them to receive these concepts and ideas. But I didn't do that with him. But I thank God that he turned out good anyway. So, you know, Lord helps us in spite of our shortcomings. But with this little one that I have now, being at a different stage in life, meaning older, hopefully a little bit more wiser, I'm starting to do that with her. And my hope is that as she gets older, and even in the teen years, that they won't be so easily drawn and pulled away from the things that they've been taught, you know, and then can go on to be stronger and greater, I won't say devices, but people to be used by God.
And I mean, Mama Coach, that's a very, that's a very powerful statement, simply because it has been the avenue from the perspective of what we're discussing and what my brother-in-law used, the persecution. It has been that persecution that has drawn people away from Yah. It has been all these things that has been set up in our society that have made our children, as well as even us, because it has been in the churches. It has been in every facet of our society to be in pursuit of material things in order to even feel like we belong to Yah. And from that, and from piggybacking on what Mama Coach just said, what if society had taught the children, generations and generations of the children, to understand that there is only one thing that really matters in life, and that's obeying Yah. That is our responsibility. That is our duty on a daily basis for us is to obey the. That's the conclusion of the whole matter, is to fear Yah and keep His commandments, because everything that pertains to life and godliness is in those commandments. And if we did it, everything that we seek, here's the catch. If we did that, everything that we seek apart from Yah, the material things, would be in place. Because nobody would be selfish enough to try to hoard things up and to make things from a perspective to the point to where it separates the classes of people through these material things. If we all, from generations and generations, all mankind had submitted to their duty in fearing Yah and obeying His word, even if we as a nation have followed our covenant, our commitment, our agreement with Yah, just think how much better this world would be if everybody had the same mindset that, you know what, I'm not so caught up into it to the point to where it separates us in classes based upon, you know, the type of shoes that I have or the type of clothes that I wear or how much money I have in the bank or the type of car that I drive and different things like that. And if everybody had the mindset of godliness from the get-go, how much different this thing would be? That would be no lack. And so what we struggle to get is the very thing that if we had all submitted to Yah, all of us would have. Because Yah always fixed things to where it was a balance. There was never someone who had much more than everybody else. Everybody had the same benefit from what He laid out in the earth for mankind, and so everybody benefited. In other words, just use this for the sake of giving us a mental picture. Everybody had a pair of Nike from God's perspective. Everybody drove the type of car that, you know, that everyone loved, you know, whatever that may be. Everybody, you know, when it comes down to the kingdom, everybody has an even keel, so to speak. We're all evil, but I mean even. But at the same time, because the way this society is set up, it is setting us up for this destruction that we're about to deal with in Revelation 20. And it's vital for us to grasp this and to really get an understanding of this before we move to verse. Now, again, I'm going to read Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. Now, anybody else have anything else to say on this, along the line of this, before we move from this over into Revelation? We're all good? Okay. All right, let's move let's read Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13 one more time, and then we'll move to Revelation 20. It says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Yah. That's the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Yah and keep His commandments. That's the conclusion of everything that we deal with. Fear Yah and keep His commandments. Whatever issues we deal with in life is all vanity. Fear Yah, keep His commandments. For this is the whole of man. It says whole duty, but this is the whole of man. Okay? This is what makes man whole. Fear Yah, keep His commandments. You know. And so when you look at it from that perspective, that's how life should be. Now, we'll move to Revelation 20, verse 4, and then we'll deal with this here, and we'll go ahead and dismiss. Now, Revelation 20, verse 4 says, I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. Then it says, and I saw the souls. Okay, when you look at the souls, I'm not going to deal with the word souls just yet, but I'm going to come back to it. Okay, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. For the witness of Jesus and for the word of Yah, and which had not worshipped the beast. Now, you know, we've dealt with some things as far as the beast is concerned. The beast is a one world system that is set up in place now. That's what that beast is. It's not just necessarily a man. But it's a one world order. When you hear them talking about one world order and a combination of that one world religion, that's what the beast is. Okay, it's a one world order. It's a system. Okay. Then it says, I'll go back up, and I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of Yah, and which had not worshipped the beast. Now, I want to stick with the word worship for a minute, because when we understand the perspective of why we dealt with this materialism thing, that is going to be one of the main things that will cause people to worship this beast. Okay? That's why I'm encouraging us now to not love material things. Remember, it's okay to have it. There's nothing wrong, and it's okay to have it nice. You see what I'm saying? I like driving nice cars, and I encourage you to drive nice cars. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Living a nice house. Ain't nothing wrong with having nice things. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is we have to make sure as the children of Yah that we stay focused on the bottom line. What's the bottom line? Fear Yah and obey his commandments. That's the bottom line for us. So it's okay to have these things, but at the same time, I'm going to say it this way. Don't let these things have us, because there's something coming that will cause us to do what we're discussing if it has us. If the material thing has us, we will worship the beast. Did somebody say that? Okay, if material thing have us, we will worship the beast. Now let me show you what I mean, and we'll come back to Revelation 20. I'm gonna read Revelation 20 verse 4 again, and then I'm gonna move from that into Revelation 13. Then we'll come back to Revelation 20. Okay, Revelation 20 verse 4 says, "And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them." Here it goes now. "And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded." So it lets us know that there is a people who trust Yah that will be killed from a perspective of their heads being cut off. So when you look at the beheaded, that also gives us an understanding of what that beast is going to be, who's going to be controlling that beast in the last day. See, most people think that it's the current system that's in place that is going to control this beast, but that is going to be this beast. But this system is setting things up for this beast to rise up and be on the scene. So when I'm talking about a beast, I'm talking about a one-world governmental system that has a religious system attached to it. That's the two beasts of Revelation. We'll look at it in Revelation 13. That's the two beasts. So the beast is a religious system. The another beast is a religious system. The first beast is the one-world order or government system that will rule the world. The current one that you see is not going to be ruling. It's going to have to come down, because this beast has a different mindset. It has a perspective of mindset as far as, so when you hear me say beast, I'm talking about a world government system. So this world government system has somewhat of a mindset of the current one, but the one that coming is worse off, because not only does it have a government system in place, but the government system is going to be influenced by the religious system of that government system. And so when you look at these things that's happening, and you look at who's beheading people now, it gives you a picture of what this system that's going to be in the end, the end time system is, what it's going to be. So you have this counter system that's trying to set it up because they want to be it, but they don't realize they ain't it. And they think they're doing it, so they're giving all impression by throwing things out there to try to line up. See, what you have to understand about this Karen system, is trying to line up with the scripture. But this other system that's going to rise up and overthrow this Karen system is a system that is fulfilling by prophecy. This Karen system is always imitated. It want to imitate the people of Yah. He wanna imitate everything that's according to our nation, this current beast system does. But this other system has a whole different mindset. Or has this mindset, but then it has a different mindset because it's not like what we see now on earth. So as you look at this now, again, verse 4, Revelation 20, verse 4 saying, I saw thrones and they sat upon them. And judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of Yah, and which had not worshiped. Now, when you look at the word worship, it means in a nutshell, Halakai says this here. Worship, it says to kiss like a dog licking the master's hand. Then it says to crouch, okay, to prostrate oneself in homage. So when we worship Yah, what do? We put our hands up, you know, just kind of give you a mental picture. We put our hands up, or we may get on our knees. Some people come to the altar and they put their head down. You know, it's a perspective as far as paying homage to the one true Yah. Well, the scripture says that people will do this beast the same way. Well, how will that take place? There will be a homage that's paid from a perspective of bowing down physically, but to understand the detail of this worship and to see that we as society is being programmed today to accept it, we have to go back and look at Revelation 13. Now, as we go look at it, Revelation 13, it says, we'll start at verse 4. I mean 7. Revelation 13, verse 7. We just started verse 7. Verse 7 said, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints. Okay? Now we see the same thing because the scripture says, talks about the saints being beheaded. So it lets us know that this one world system that is coming on the scene is going to deal with Yah's people. Okay? This system is going to make war with the people of Yah, because Revelation 20, verse 4 said that they're going to behead the people of Yah. So this one system that's coming up, it will someday cause people to accept an ultimatum. Either you do what we say, or we kill you because you accept something else. That's coming in the future, y'all. Ain't no doubt about it. It's coming in the future. Scripture's telling us. Verse 7 says, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. So they're going to be successful. So don't think because our country is so powerful and this current system is so powerful because it has all the money and it has all the this and it has all the power. And then, you know, we have all this muscle right now. Don't think because that's in place that it's not going to take place. Remember, Egypt was the kingdom that was like this current beast. Egypt was a beast at one time. Because when you look at Revelation and it talks about the beast coming out of the ocean, it describes seven of them. Well, the first one is Egypt. So when you look at beasts are world systems. So Egypt at one time was a world system, and it was dominant. It was there was no sign that the Pharaoh could be brought down, none whatsoever. That was the one world order back then. okay? Assyria was the one world order, another one world order back then. Babylon was another one world order back then. There have always been one world orders in place. Always been. The Bible tells us it's seven. The Bible tells us it's actually going to be eight. It talks about seven, but we have seen seven of them. But we have seen glimpses of seven of them. But there's one coming that we haven't seen come to a full head yet. So when you hear beast, I'm letting you know that there have been beasts or one world orders before. Egypt was one. Assyria was the second one. Babylon was the third one. Medo-Persia was the fourth one. Grecia was the fifth one. The Roman Empire was the sixth one. And you're looking at the United Nations, or some people say the Illuminati, or some people say Zionist. You clump it all together. That's the beast. Anything that controls the world is the beast. And the beast always had a religious system. Egypt had one. Assyria had one. Babylon had one. Medo-Persia had one. Greece had one. Rome had their religious system. Okay? Rome had its religious system. Now you have Greece. The revised Roman Empire, which is that 6B, 7B, is that the 7? Let me see. Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, revised Roman Empire territory. The reason why I call it the territory is because, you know, it is a territory, and they try to say that it's Rome, but it's the revised Roman Empire territory. When you look at that territory as a whole, Turkey is included, and so you got to look at the Ottoman Empire, which is your Muslim. The Bible says one of those beasts going to rise again. Well, you're looking at these Muslims are coming up on the scene again. Okay, and so when you start dealing with this, all these were beasts. They were one world order that controlled the commonly known world at the time. Egypt was, Assyria was, you know, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, and the revised Roman Empire, or what we understand now as NATO or the United Nations. The revised Roman Empire, or at least some facets of it, but when you see it come to its full head, the Bible talks about another beast going to rise up after that. Going to have parts of all of them, but worse than all of them. It's the last one. And so when you look at this beast that we're talking about, the scripture said, and it was given unto Revelation 13, verse 7, and it was given unto him to make war against the saints. What's coming is going to hate the people of Yah. What's coming, you haven't seen Israelites dying on the streets like we're going to see. What's coming is going to hate Israel. Not the land Israel, the people Israel. What's coming? Okay, we're seeing small portions of it now, but what's coming is going to be extreme. All right? See, because our mindset is, heck, most of us ain't got nothing on hand, so we don't care about being without something. Now, verse 7 says, it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. So unless you know this system is going to be successful. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues. These are nations now. All kindreds and tongues. It's going to be some issues. Not going to be able to conquer everything. All kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. How? Whose names are not written in the book of life. Now, as we deal with this, I want to continue on because, worship him whose name are not written in the book of life. Verse 8. Of the Lamb slain from the foundation world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity, and he that killeth with the sword must be he that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. I beheld another beast. Now, this another beast is the religious system. One world religious system that's associated with it, we've dealt with this. But I want to deal with the mindset of this system now. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. So unless you know that it's religious, because it associates with what we understand as our heritage and who we follow, the Lamb of Yah, Christ. So unless you know, it's going to have a form of what Christ would represent, but at the same time, it speaks like it's demonic. It's demonic. And so then it says that he exercised all powers, the first beast. In other words, he's able to exercise the power of the one world government system, the one world order. This religious system is going to exercise the power of the government system. So they're hand in hand. This system is different from any other system in that this religious system is going to guide the hand to at the highest degree of the government system. It is the main influence of this system. Now, we have some of that in place now from the perspective of the Catholic Church. That's why you have all the leaders somewhat, they go pay homage to the Catholic Church, because the Catholic Church is the current religious system that's associated with the one world beast system. The Catholic Church is your religious system. Your Catholic Church influences all of the religions in one fashion or another. I don't care what it is, whether it's Buddhism, whether it's Christianity, you name it. Catholic Church has influence in it in one fashion or another. It is that Karen spiritual, or it is that Karen religious beast. Why you think we do services on most Christians do services on Sunday? That decision was made by the Catholic Church. Goes in direct conflict against the laws of Yah, which said that we're to worship on Saturday, which is a Saturday, or Friday night and Saturday, Friday night to Saturday night, basically, in a nutshell, or dusk to dusk, Friday night, Saturday. So you look at that beast. That beast always changed times and laws. Your Catholic Church did it. Well, there's another beast coming up, a religious system, that's going to change times and laws the same way the Catholic Church has done already. They changed a lot of times and laws. So that beast always does that. If you go check all of the Egypt, you go check all of these things, even when Babylon, what did Nebuchadnezzar do? Nebuchadnezzar built that thing, and every time you go read about Daniel and all that, every time, that's why they threw him in the lion's den. Every time he changed the times and laws, so every time a decree or something was made known, everybody had to bow down to Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel was like, not going to do it. So that beast system always has a religious system that want to change times and laws. That's why when you get people that talk about, well, that beast is the Catholic Church today, it's going to be the last one, they don't understand how that beast and that religious system, that beast religious system and that beast one world government has been in existence throughout the history of mankind. Okay? Now, you were trying to say something? Okay. Now, verse 11 said, I beheld. You had some answer?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
What you were talking about earlier, about where they had to worship the beast or whatever, or that day is coming.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's exactly like what you said, what happened during Daniel's time, right? How they got him is he wouldn't bow down and worship. And so that's what got him in trouble, right? So as Daniel was, so will people have to be in the future.
Amen. No, nothing new under the sun, Ecclesiastes. See, and this is why you have people that are always trying to point it out and say what the beast is, you know, based upon, you know, the Catholic Church and all this, and saying that's that whore of Revelation, all that. It's hard to identify that the Catholic Church being the end of that thing, because you see another beast rising up, and you see that religious system rising up right with it. You see it happening. So it's the same thing. Daniel, because he wouldn't bow down, he was cast in the lion's den to be what? Killed. Yah moved on his behalf. Now, the same thing is going to happen in our day and time.
Except this time when Yah is saying, okay, he's going to let them win. He's going to let them, because I think the difference is, the season, one, and two, it's kind of like the final showdown is the best way I can put it, right? Because this is the end, right? So either you accept them or you don't, right? The dispensation is different. Back then, times were different, right? So he threw in the lion's den, still at Yah's mercy. This time, it's the guillotine that when you make that choice, it's a final choice, kind of
this. Here's the difference, and this is why I'm dealing with this. You're still going to have the same thing in this the times that we live in today, as Daniel. You're gonna have some who remain, the remnant who remain, and that's what we're getting prepared for. Saints are gonna be killed, just that we're not gonna be those saints. The same way as Daniel stood up against the system and survived. There are remnants that's going to stand up against the system and be alive and remain. Because y'all going to show up the same way he did during Daniel's time. And that's why I wanted to say it that way. We're going to see it repeat itself, and those whose mind are prepared to deal with it, because you're going to have, even back in Daniel's time, you had some who bowed down, and yet suffered the consequences of it. Then you had some who didn't bow down that maybe didn't get the same outcome as Daniel did.
Right. You hear about this.
State of mind. Exactly.
Everybody got
kids. It's a state of mind. You know, and so that's why I wanted to say that, okay. Now, verse 12 again, and I know my time has run out, so let me speed up here. I'm going to skip down because of the time. Okay, verse 15. Verse 15 said he had power. Now he is that religious one world order. It said he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, the system. So there's something that's going to be set up in place the same way as it was during the time of Babylon, when they knew to fall down and worship. There's something that's going to be set up in place that, you know, I personally believe is Sharia law, whereas when you have this beast that's going to rise up, or your Muslims that's going to take over this thing, and when they set up Sharia law, then you know at a certain time of day, everybody has to bow down and pray.
I was going to say, I think that's what Obama came up
under.
And it's like they blow a horn
and
do a certain thing a certain time of day.
It is what he came up. I've heard him say it, and he talked about it. He talked about how wonderful it was to hear that and to stop and pray. Whatever everybody was doing, everybody stopped. This is what these people, this beast is getting ready to do. It's getting ready to put things in place where it's going to say, okay, when this is made known, whatever signal is given, everybody all at once will fall down at the same time and worship. That's what this is talking about. And so verse 15 said, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak. You think of King, you go to those Muslim countries and you see they got this thing, they got this tower like thing and a speaker coming from it, and it's calling everybody to pray. That's a beast, y'all. That's a beast. I'm gonna stick with that being the beast until Yah educate me on it being something else, because all signs point to it. That's the beast. What you're seeing rise up is the beast of Revelation. What you're seeing rise up. And I believe that with all my heart, because there's not anything else in place that's pushing a radical religious system along with a government system that's willing to kill you if you don't fall in line. That system is willing to kill you if you don't fall in line. Now, then it says, verse 15, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship. There we go again. Worship the image of the beast should be killed. Pay homage, worship. Now, as you look at this, verse 16 says, and he calls all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, and that no man might buy materialism. No man might buy or sell. You can't function in society. Buy what? Food? Not just food. Buy your car. Buy your gas. Buy your place to live. Or sell something. Yes, I'm out.
I think that's the part that's going to devastate a lot of people that are on the top in this current system. Because for this current system, money is the end all be all. So you got all these people with billions and stuff like that. Well, when the next system comes, them billions ain't going to be able to buy you nothing.
They don't have the same bank.
They're going to be in control of everything. It don't matter if you got billions or you don't got billions, or you got gold or you don't got gold. If you don't pay homage to the beast, it don't matter how much money you got. They ain't going to care.
Exactly. So you can be, to piggyback on what Alan just said, you can be a billionaire. You can be Oprah. Oprah's a billionaire. You can be Oprah, and you will not be allowed to function in this society without paying homage to that religious beast, or pay homage to that beast and the religious system that's set up in place to cause you to pay homage. So it is basically saying, in a nutshell, it doesn't matter what type of material ability you have, you cannot function, we cannot function in society unless we take or pay homage to that beast. Now you know why I'm preaching saying don't be materialistic. Because those who are going to survive this system can't be caught up into materialism. You can't love your house. You can't love your car. You can't love your money. You can't need to get around in your car. You can't depend on these things to be able to live in society, because depending on these things is the very thing that's going to have to make us choose or die. Or choose to live or die. Hey, on land, you can't eat, you can't do nothing unless you accept it.
It's going to be different, right? Like, I doubt that it will be like what we understand today. Like, their whole concept of things is different, right? So, like, you may own this land, but if they come and you don't submit, you know, they may kill you, right? So it ain't like you can't own it.
And give your land to somebody who's willing to submit.
Right.
So just for the sake of conversation, let's say you don't want to submit, and I do. You got this nice, pretty mansion, and since I'm submitting, he said, okay, we're going to get that mansion alone. We're going to kill Janine because she doesn't submit. So since Lon submit, he can buy and sell. Want a house?
Yeah,
well, I understand what you're saying on that part, but the land part is like, okay, so you'd have to buy and sell to live off of,
but I'm saying if you had your own land where you
can
do your own stuff.
See, you have to understand how this thing is getting ready to be set up. We're getting ready to deal with a system that controls everything. It's already in place now. You're dealing with a system that controls the waterways, that controls all the land in one fashion or another. And so just use this for the sake of conversation. Where are you going to go and do that with that land?
Well, if you have your own water thing.
Where?
Saying,
where, if you have your water thing, where? Let's say you have your water thing. Where? When this system come up on the scene, what are you going to do? You going to stand there and say, these my peaches and bananas and grapes and stuff, and this is my water, and this is my land?
Yes.
They're going to be like, and you going to accept this mark? Your peaches and your water and your bananas and all that is ours. That's point blank. That's how it's going to be. That's why it's saying this. The scripture is letting us know. And then they're going to take it, inflate things so much to the point to where it's going to be difficult for people to survive on trying to do things that you have these people who are saying, well, I'm just going to buy me a bunch of land and just live off the land. Now,
I don't think even that don't matter, because of the way things are going, even if the bees didn't come to you, all the people that's trying to flee from the bees going to be eating your stuff up there.
Yeah, be like, pooping them going to be in your peaches. And so all this is going to be going on. I'm just trying to get you to see it. And so let me get toward the end of this now. It's 12 minutes after, so I'm getting ready to get toward the end of it. Now, in verse 16, it said, and he causes both, verse 17, it said, that no man, that's you too, Janine, and that no man might buy or sell save. Now, when you look at save, the word save here says except. If not, except. No man can buy or sell except he have the proper identification. No man can buy or sell. Nothing. Nowhere in society we can buy or sell except we have paid homage and submitted to that beast that's getting ready to rise up on the scene. Then it lets us know at the end where it says, and then Adam, if you have something, it lets us know at the end, it says, here is wisdom. Let him that has understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of the man. It is the number of a man, and his number is 666. See, it's not that they're going to be stamping 666 on us per se, but the 666 represents something. The 666 is Antichrist. It let us know that this system and this religious system is going to be anti-Yah. That's why we can't accept it. That's why you're going to see Revelation 24, people are dying, because they're going to look at something and they're going to give you the free choice. They're going to be like, you either accept it or you die. They just leave me dumbfounded when people think they're going to flip a chip and they're going to put this chip in you and they're going to mind control. They ain't going to mind control you like that. They're going to hold out that doggone sword or that guillotine and say yes or no. That's the chip right there. The chip right there is the beheading, the death that's going to take place. It ain't going to be they're going to slip something in you and control your mind and have you walk around here, have us walk around here like robots. It's not going to be that. It's going to be a clear, conscious decision. Do you want this or do you don't? If you want it, go ahead and buy and sell. If you don't, give me a hand.
But isn't that kind of what they're doing with the babies now? They're asking them if you want to do it or not. Some of them are actually letting them put the chip in the baby.
But the chip is not the important
issue. I understand what you're saying, though.
Let me tell you what the chip is. The chip is this current one world system trying to control everybody. That's going to come to a halt. That's why that is their version of trying to control everybody. They're saying that we can control everybody with this chip and know where everybody is and all this here, then we can just control everybody. Well, that's going to be used to a certain extent, but not to control you, to know where you are in a perspective once this other beast come on the scene and say, well, Janice out there over there on that land with them peaches and bananas over there because that chip is in the...
In fact, once the new one come in, I have a feeling that technology ain't going to have the same prevalence. It's going to be... I doubt that they use it the way this current system uses it.
These people's mindset is this. I've talked to some of them. Their mindset is they want us to go back to horse and buggy. That's their mindset. They don't like this new technology. They would rather things be brought down to like it was back in the days when we went around on horse and buggy. That's what these people want. They don't like the technology that we have. They don't like the atomic bombs and all that kind of stuff. They want to tone everything down. They want to go back. They want to go back to the old way. So that's what I'm saying. That's not the controlling that they're going to do with the chips and things like that.
The current system is trying to fulfill problems. Like, it's been going on for a long time. Like, they understand things, so they're trying to make it happen by fulfilling it themselves.
Right.
But it don't work that way.
Right. The Jews trying to pretend that they're back in the land. They're trying to pretend that they're us and they're back in the land. All of theirs is pretension. These boys that's coming up after them is the real deal that's fulfilling Bible prophecy. And we are the real deal who's going to fulfill Bible prophecy about us being Israel in the end days. So it's coming on the scene. So that's why I started out around the back and said, listen, guys, don't get caught up in the materialism. Don't get caught up in all this system that's in place, because there's going to come a day when we are going to have to make a conscious decision, like Ecclesiastes said, fear Yah, obey his commandments, obey his laws, statutes, and judgments, fear Yah. It's going to come a day when we're going to have to make that decision. Okay? That's all I have. You have anything else, Alan? Mama Coles, anybody? Had any other questions, comments, anything? If not, we'll go ahead and stop if there's nobody else. Okay, y'all, just another lesson getting us prepared, okay? Father, y'all, we just bless you on today, and we thank you for another fast of understanding. We declare that we put our complete trust in you. You meet our needs on a daily basis. That's why we can step out in life and see wonderful things take place, because you're our source. And in these last days, we're going to put our total dependency upon you. You are our Yah, you are our dwelling place, and we put our complete trust in you. And we thank you for our Savior. In his name we do pray. Amen.